You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday's show. In with me, my guy Tom Callahan with The Voice. Nobody in studio, but I do have a busy, busy day. I have Jonathan Perlman of the FC Tucson. He's the operations manager or director of operations for FC Tucson. We'll come on at about 6:15, talk about what's going on this weekend with MLS teams coming into town, getting ready for the exhibition season here. And we'll talk a little about FC Tucson. We had the new president last week. A lot of things going on with the FC Tucson. Good things, obviously, with the business side of it, the sports side of it. So we'll talk to him about that. And then about 6:32, we'll have P.J. Brown of the Arizona Daily Star, who covers the women's basketball team at U of A. A big press conference today. Not a big one, just a weekly one. But Adia is like a breath of fresh air for these. She's just a normal woman who's done really well and doesn't go crazy with it, not flamboyant, just tells it like it is. You don't have to read anything to my comment. I just say my observation.
You know, Steve, sometimes I just get tired of coach speak.
Yeah. She doesn't do that.
Yeah. In the world of sports, I mean, you just get tired of the cliches and the coach speak and all that, and you just roll your eyes because you hear the same answer 20 times.
Right. Or you don't get an answer to your question.
Right. Right, because it's wrapped in cliches, which don't answer anything.
Right. And then you just kind of say, well, he just did answer that. Should I ask it again?
Right. Yeah. And then they go, I just answered that.
Right. No. I says, well, no, not really. Yeah. I do that when I replay the tape every now and again. I'm thinking, I didn't get the answer I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But you obviously know when you're listening to the question or to the response that sometimes you don't get the answer. So there that goes. My story's done.
Yeah.
So we'll have them too. We'll talk about UA Hoops again. As usual, they play tomorrow at Cal, a big game. Obviously, the rest of the year are big games, every one of them. I saw that the projections are 7, 8, 9 in terms of seedings. I think that's accurate. Still winnable for a first game of the tournament. And then after that, who knows? Because what was my saying yesterday? If you don't know who I am by now, you'll never know me. Mm-mm. And we don't know which team's going to show up. But I say this all the time, and you know this, Tom. It's not about – everyone says, oh, we could just play Arizona basketball. Don't you think the other team has something to do with it?
Sure.
To prevent you from playing Arizona basketball? All the talk today, and there was something on Facebook saying a local website talked about how Sean was talking yesterday, and we saw the press conference about how teams don't let them run or whatever, limit them. One, they don't run that often. Let's face facts there. They don't run that often, and it's difficult to play slow paces. Okay, no duh. For the last 20 years, it's been the case. If slow Arizona down, you have a chance to win. Why? Because if you're going to scout this team, what are you going to do?
You're going to see exactly the teams that have had success, have run zone, slowed them down.
Yes.
Push them to the outside. Oh, and now you can dare them to shoot to beat you.
Exactly. Which is like a triple whammy.
Yeah.
Slow them down, play a zone, and threaten to go ahead, shoot it.
Yeah.
You ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
We're going to get, and I dare you to get the rebound. So there's that. It's just more leverage for the other teams. We'll see what happens because tomorrow, guess what, is one of those games or teams that are going to slow them down and be methodical and blah, blah. Lute had the same problem. The teams that put them in the half court, made them run their offense, they struggled against. Heck, in 97, you might keep that. It's funny, did you have your hand on the curse button yesterday?
No.
I was kind of fired up.
Yesterday. You were fired up, but no, it's a short chair slide away. Okay, so okay. If you see me explode to my right, that's what I'm going
well,
for.
Well, I almost said, well, whatever. I didn't say something stupid. But if you're going to do it in 97, after Arizona had been beaten the first round a few times, and, you know, that was Lute's biggest criticism, it was either slow them down, play them in the 50s, make them be methodical, blah, blah, blah. In fact, I still believe, and I believe this just maybe 25%, that they won the NCAA title by beating South Alabama in that first game. And I'll tell you why. South Alabama had them by 10 with about just a few minutes. Arizona had to go one of those rallies to beat them and kind of start their rally for the 97 title. But you slow them down, make it difficult for them to score, and you have a chance. 23 years later, guess what? Nothing's changed. Slow them down, make them go into the offense, and guess what Sean likes to do? He likes to slow it down, get the play going. So he's kind of stepping into their plan too, even though he says he wants to make them run. If that's the case, run. So we'll see. We have a month left, almost a month to the day, because what's it, the 12th?
It is.
The Pac-12 tournament starts March 14th or thereabouts. So we'll see. Tick, tick, tick. We'll see what happens. So then we'll talk about the soccer. If you guys want to call in, please do, maybe on the 6:45 hour, so you can talk more hoops. But about 6:15, about 3 minutes, we'll talk to Mr. Jonathan Perlman. We'll talk about UA hoops too, because he's a big fan. I wonder if he's still a big fan, because I don't know if you're noticing this, Tom. Some fans are starting to slowly step away from the program.
I personally haven't noticed that, because the people I know are who are fans are just dyed in the wool. You know, they're complaining louder, but they're not backing away,
right.
Just yet.
I think that's more the case because they're not gonna entirely jump ship,
right?
They're just gonna say, you know, what the heck's going on?
Yeah,
and that's what the hell I'm hearing all the time.
I would agree with that. They're getting louder,
right. Dissenters, and we talked about this yesterday with Moreno, how the fans left early. They had seen enough. No heart, no will, no nothing to get that win against UCLA.
And not just early, really early.
Really early, right.
I mean, I can understand the last, although I'm a stay till the bitter end, as we all know. but I can understand people who leave a little early. You know, you're parking. Like, okay, a couple minutes left, it's over.
Right. But, well, that's usually in victories. They're up by 20, you can get out of town. And,
well, either or. I mean, if you're down by 20,
you've had enough.
Yeah, but, you know, and I'm a... Boy, you never know what you're going to miss if you don't stay to the end. And sometimes I've seen some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes, no, you don't see anything amazing.
If you stayed to the end, you almost saw USC win.
Yeah.
You did see ASU win.
Right. I mean, the only thing I usually get to see is a clear parking lot.
Which is easy to get out, right?
Yeah,
right.
Also nice.
Right. And all those cups that are laying on the ground for the beer at the football game.
Yep. Boy, at the end, if you wanted to, you can go through, clean it out, and start a housewares company based on what's left laying around.
Right. Stacking your cups.
Yeah.
Bringing home the stack cups. Didn't you do that as a kid?
Oh, yeah, as a kid,
everybody
for sure.
A kid, yeah. Hey, let's take the break now so we can talk to Jonathan Perlman for the full 15 minutes here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. I'm going to talk to Jonathan Perlman here soon. And talk about FC Tucson. I'm hoping he calls in any moment now. I'm hoping he calls. So let's continue to talk real quick about hoops. They go to Cal. They probably left to the Bay Area tonight or already this afternoon. So I don't know if I liked that trip or not. I hated the traffic driving in San Francisco. But it was a fun trip for the weekend. Cal, Stanford, Palo Alto, switching hotels across the bay. Nice weather sometimes. It was difficult trip back in the day when Luke played up there with Dion Cross and all those talented kids at Stanford. So we'll see if we get Jonathan Perlman on here and talk FC Tucson. A lot of things going on with tickets, with the MLS coming into town, changes in the leadership at FC Tucson, talent. They even have jobs opening here for the organization, which is cool, making it more professional at that level. So we'll talk to him about that. And then at 6:32, we'll talk to PJ Brown about the women's basketball program that's surging and is one of the best teams in the country this year. After last year's NIT huge championship run, which kind of showed that the women's team was capable of doing what they do. So I'm hoping to talk to Jonathan any moment here. Are we good to go? Jonathan, we're good. Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
How's it going, Steve?
Good to talk to you. Hey, a lot of things going on in FC Tucson. We'll talk about the MLS that's starting this weekend, and we'll talk about the organizations that's kind of stepping it up with jobs and changes and things like that. So let's talk about MLS first. Big weekend starting already.
Absolutely. Obviously, for us, we're kicking off the 10th anniversary of our event. You know, it's the Visit Tucson Sun Cup, and, you know, we've got a great set of games this weekend. We've got, you know, Sporting Kansas City playing New York Red Bulls, Real Salt Lake, the Houston Dynamo, international stars. We've got our national team captain, Aaron Long, with the New York Red Bulls. You've got Alan Pulido, star of the Mexican national team. So it's really just a great setup, and it's going to be a great set of games, and I'm more excited to kick it off.
Is the kid who grew up in Sierra Vista still with the Red Bulls?
No, actually, Luis Robles is on Inter Miami, the brand new team that David Beckham owns.
Oh, nice.
So he was moved there, so that was good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of homegrown talent, obviously. I mean, you've got Donny Toya for Real Salt Lake at left back. You've got Justin Glad playing center back for them. Former FC Tucson player Aaron Herrera on the right back. Kyle Adams, one of FC Tucson's center back, has signed a full pro contract now with the Houston Dynamo. I mean, Tate Schmidt, who played for us, is also with Real Salt Lake. Obviously, of course, Aaron Long with the New York Red Bulls. So, I mean, tons of Tucson connections this weekend, and they're going to be playing and playing a big part, not only for their teams in the preseason, but as the season goes along.
So when you watched a lot of soccer with the kids growing up, my son played with Glad, the Glad kid. Did you know right away that this kid was this good?
Well, Justin, absolutely. And, you know, he was his coach at the Real Salt Lake Academy, Martin Vasquez, actually had asked me about him when he saw him as a 16-year-old, and I said, absolutely. And Justin at that time was playing defensive midfield, and he was really just a very gangly, lanky kid.
Right.
With unbelievable movement and athleticism, and really saw the game very well. I really thought he had high-end potential, but you can never really gauge where someone's going to be, and now he's going to be one of the center backs on an Olympic team. So, you know, very similar with Donny Toya, you see talent, and you really believe in them, and you think there's great potential, but it's up to that player, and Justin and Donny should be given huge amounts of credit, along with all the other guys that are here in the MLS now, because they had to put the work into matching the talent to give themselves the opportunity that they're now going to be able to have. And we're really lucky to have them here in Tucson. It's going to be a sunny, beautiful day, and, you know, people should come out. You know, it's really very reasonable. You get a 4-pack for $50. You're getting 2 MLS games for $12. I don't know how you could go wrong.
No. In fact, since you started this, what, many years ago, maybe 3 decades ago, when you were part of the surging beginning of it, would you have imagined what was going on or what is going on?
Well, we're just thrilled, obviously, one, that the event has lasted 10 years and our team and our franchise is into their 10th season. And for me personally, obviously, you don't imagine these things, but you hope and you work and you want to. We really started it to give opportunities for people in Tucson and Tucson players. And really to see Justin and Donnie out there being able to come back and play in front of their home crowd, because hopefully they were inspired a bit by what we did and had some opportunities through some of the chances that we took. I mean, that's incredible. But mostly this was for the people of Tucson, for the fans. Obviously, we know the challenges we had when we lost minor league baseball in the stadium district. And, you know, to see a resurgence, to see 12 new fields there, to see
right.
This event continue to thrive. I mean, I think that's a real positive statement, and I think I'm proud of the work that myself and all the partners that have been part of it, you know, in the community, Rick Shantz, Greg Foster, Chris Keeney, Stadium District, and all the supervisors to, and plus all the City of Tucson officials that have supported us financially and personally to make this event be special.
Right. And not so much this event, because I was going back decades, because I've been here 30 years, obviously you've been here a long time, but the whole surge of soccer in general.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. You know, I didn't really know what to think. I mean, when I came out here, this was 1997. I was coaching a small club team at Udall Park. And, you know, we were coming off the 94 World Cup was very inspirational. But we didn't have a real league that was that stable. And the MLS was just in its infancy. And to see what the league has become, I mean, you've got Atlanta United selling 70,000 tickets, Seattle selling 60,000 tickets at their games. I mean, you're adding franchises all over the place. I mean, it's just an amazing time for soccer in this country. Could I have imagined it would be this big and I would have any part of it? I wasn't sure at that time. I just knew I loved working with kids and I enjoyed the game. So I'm really pleased for our country, and I'm obviously pleased for our community. I think Arizona's been proven to be a hotbed of talent, and it's a place where our community is investing in the game, and we'll continue to do so.
One of the things that's helped catapulted, I think, the interest, both men's and women's, for little girls and little guys, is the FC Tucson. And now you have a president for the organization. You have a new coach in Gallus with two new assistants just named.
Yeah, it's a great time. And really, Amanda Power is coming in, you know, with the success she has, a chief operating officer at New Mexico United. And the story of New Mexico United is well-known in soccer circles, but if it's not known in the Tucson community, it should be known that that was a team in Albuquerque, a city that was, you know, not in a great position, people thought, for pro sports. And by the time they were done, they drew 13,000 fans over 17 games. So while we certainly know it will take a while for us to get to that point, her leadership, her drive, her her vision that we've been working on, and it's been long nights these last couple months, just like the early days, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it. And our staff, John and I, have been, you know, burning the midnight oil, you know, scouring for players. We've added to our budget. We've added to our game experience. And our new assistants are really adding pieces to the puzzle that we really sorely needed. And our staffing going up and the marketing that we're doing, I think if you're driving down Speedway and all these roads, you're seeing the billboards and the energy. And we have our big opening party tomorrow night, and I would love you to be there, Steve. To kick it off at the playground to tell everyone what we're doing. And the future of our franchise is really bright.
What time is that at?
5:30 to 9:30. But, Steve, you're Steve Rivera. You can show up whenever you want. As soon as we're done with this conversation, I'm going to slip the invite on the old phone, and you're going to make sure you're there.
So. Okay, great. Good. I'm glad to know I'm Steve Rivera. I'll have to show up after 7 o'clock.
You can show up whenever you want. You're royalty here. So
I'll have to check my name tag. Cool. No, thank you, Jonathan. Hey, super. That's great. We talk about this all the time because I have you on during the season. It's a long season, but now you're going to have like new members. You're going after staff, new hires. This is getting to be big.
Yeah, you know, we're over doubling our staff. You know, we really need those pieces of the puzzle to tell our story. You know, a lot of the things we're doing, you know, in terms of the sales and the marketing plans and on the technical side and increasing our ability to scout and find players, all these pieces of the puzzles operationally are going to be key for us to, you know, stay with the times and move forward as a lead franchise in our league, and as our ambitions to move up into a higher league as well, which is well on the docket. So for us, I mean, being able to have the staff, we need to have that kind of support that we're getting, you know, from the league, from our new president, to drive that forward is massive, and it's going to make a huge difference. And the fans are going to see it in the performance and in the game experience.
With the new president on board, does your role change?
Well, my role is shifting again for me. You know, I'm moving more towards the technical side, which is my area. I'm
your forte.
My title, the director of soccer operations, but I think the way I'm functioning more now would be sort of as a general manager type person, but also with a lot of the business interests. You know, I handle some of the parts that are not as fun, you know, our medical partnerships, things that relate to the team, and obviously on the marketing side. But I love what I'm doing. I'm really spending a lot of time with John building this team together, and that's really rewarding for me. And again, making sure that, you know, the community partners, really what Amanda is a community activist who works in soccer, and I always saw myself the same way. So we're going to be doing a lot of cool things in the community to reach out to have this community understand that we need to give to them if we expect them to show up in droves. So, you know, that's a lot of planning. That's a lot of late nights, but those are the best kind of nights, because you know you're doing work for a city that you love, and our new president has immediately fallen in love with our city and really embraced it. So I couldn't be more excited.
Right. We had her on the show last week. Very interesting. Bilingual, obviously, and kind of had some roots here in Tucson. Interesting story. So can I depress you for the last 2 minutes of the show?
Of course.
Arizona basketball. I know you're a huge fan. Are you,
well, I mean,
you're still sticking with them, I assume.
I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of Arizona sports. I'm a huge guy. I mean, I think, again, you know, we want to be optimistic, but we, you know, when our teams have had trouble, you know, our teams have struggled with inconsistency in shooting, and we've shown a lot of inconsistency in our shooting. And when you have that, those usually end up with with first round losses in the NCAA tournament. So I'm very optimistic, as always, that we'll be in the tournament. But when you don't know exactly who you're going to go to at the end of the game, you're not sure where the points are going to come from consistently. And when some games you look like a world beater and some games you look like you couldn't beat anyone in the world, you're going to be concerned. But obviously it's been a helter-skelter year, and there's a lot of potential on that team. I think we're the kind of team that can knock someone out. We shouldn't if we end up as a lower seed. We're also the kind of team, if we end up higher, that you know, a 5-12 or a 6-11 or a 7-10 game, people are going to be banging the 10 against us. So.
Right.
I love us, and I'm going to be cheering and bear down, and that's never going to change for me.
No, I knew that. I knew that that was the answer, because you are a diehard guy. You're also a realistic guy, so what you say is exactly on the money. They just have to find a way. I mean, you're a coach. You just have to find a way.
Yeah, we have to be better at winning when we're not at our best. I think that's the mark of all the great teams. So if we find that in the Pac-12 tournament, these guys are great young players, and they have limitless potential. And, you know, I know I'll be throwing things at the TV and biting my nails, as I always do. So.
Right. Wait, John, thanks for joining us. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks for having me.
We might see you tomorrow. We might see you tomorrow at the party.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Thanks, man. That was Jonathan Perlman, the operations manager of the FC Tucson league here, our team. Fun to see. I saw them a few times last year. So we'll get to... Are we almost ready to go to break, sir, right?
I am ready.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am ready. I am very superstitious. Do you wonder? Hey, let's come back here and talk to PJ Brown on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. Now on the phone, we have PJ Brown of the Arizona Daily Star, who covers the women's basketball program at U of A. PJ, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, Steve?
Fine, thank you. I listened to Adia and you guys with the questions today. What a refreshing coach to cover. I think I've told you that already once or twice. But candid answers to good questions, even questions of, well, I guess she didn't get the questions about the trash talking. But
no, she didn't.
But the girls did. Of course there's trash talking. If you're an athlete worth your salt, you get a trash talk, don't you?
Absolutely. I think that's part of the game.
Definitely. Do they have, I couldn't get, I guess they do have some on U of A, right?
Yeah. Ari did say that she likes to do some trash talking. She doesn't know if it helps, but there are times when she does it.
Well, there's another example. If you're good, like Michael Jordan was, and I'm not saying that she's Michael Jordan, but when you're that good, you can intimidate as much as you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know you didn't go on the trip, right, to Oregon? No?
No, I wasn't there.
I'm sure that none of the things that happened over the weekend surprised you, where they could have been blown out by Oregon, and they were, but then they came back and beat Oregon State in a great game?
It really didn't, and on a couple different levels. So, first of all, going Friday night against Oregon, you know, this is the team that everybody predicted would win the national championship before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gotten on a roll since they were in Tucson. Now it's probably about a month ago, and they lost to the Wildcats they beat the Wildcats by 7 points. They went home and they just crushed Stanford at home. And they've won every single game since then. They went to UConn last week and crushed them. And then they beat two ranked teams over the weekend. So they're on this roll. And, you know, it's hard. Excuse me. It's hard to beat a team like that. It's hard to even sort of be in a game with a team like that. So, you know, it wasn't, you didn't go in thinking, oh, Arizona's going to pull the upset, because on paper they're not supposed to do that. So that wasn't really a surprise. Coach Barnes did say that she was surprised that her team just sort of didn't have the fight that they normally have. They did seem like they were taken out of their game. But I think when a team is that good, that they're currently ranked 3, but they could be ranked number 1 or 2, you know, it's hard to play against those teams. Those top teams, they do that. They take you out of your game. They disrupt you. Mm-hmm. That's why they're so good. That's why they're 1, 2, or 3 in the country. And so while this Arizona team is exciting and it's number 12 and it's having a, they're having a great season and they're on their way up, they're just not one of the top teams in the country. They are considering their 12th, but they're not 1, 2, or 3. They're not in the top 5.
Right.
And there's a big difference.
Right. No, no. Contrary, like the men's basketball program or men's college basketball season, you don't have that dominating team 1, 2, 3 or whatever. It could be 1 through 12. It's totally different than in the women, where you have 2 or 3, 4 good teams, which is, I don't know if it's refreshing or not, but it's tough to crack that top 4.
It is. It's really tough to get there. The fact that Arizona is 12 and has cracked the top 15 and is knocking on the door of the top 10 is incredible this season. So we shouldn't, you know, we shouldn't look at this Oregon game and it was just one game. We shouldn't think about it as any way of affecting the season or taking away from all the great things that the Wildcats are doing this season. They are on the way up.
It's
a long way to go.
Let me ask you, I don't know, it's a dumb question, but it's a hypothetical. Assuming, we all know that McDonald is the best player on the team, one of the best in the conference. So who would be the second most important person on this team?
Well, that's a tough question. That's a good one. This weekend you would think it would have been Dominique McBride.
She was fantastic.
She was fantastic. I mean, you can't, you know, you got to say Kate Reese because she's right there.
Right.
She does her thing every night. She's going to, you know, get in double figures, possibly get a double-double. She's a huge threat every night. But this past weekend, Dominique really came through. She's really back from that injury, and she's a key component. And then there's Sam Thomas. If she doesn't hit that 3 against Oregon State in the overtime, you know, that just pulls them away and gives them that win. So, you know, there's Sam Thomas and everything that she does on defense as well as offense. So it's hard to say, you know, you've got probably 1, 2, Ari, Kate, that you're normally looking at it at, and then who's 3? Is it Dominique? Is it Sam? Is it Amari Carter? I don't know. They're all close. They all play a role. This has turned into a true team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what is kind of exciting and about the Wildcats this season. So, yes, Aerie's going to do Aerie things every single night. She's going to get her steals. She's going to, you know, get baskets and score tons of points and do really great things, get assists. But, you know, it's everybody else doing what they're supposed to do. And that's why they're winning and winning so much and doing what they're and breaking their own records and setting new ones.
What a concept. A team that plays well together.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't seen that on the other side of the with the men in a while, but the women are proving that it's possible. No question. What do you estimate the crowds this weekend? Not as great as they were a couple weekends ago, but you know, a couple 3,000, 4,000.
Oh, I think more than that. I think they're coming off a huge win at Oregon State. They knocked off another top 10 team. They were number 9 at the time, and up to this point, that's the latest and greatest thing that they've done. Yeah, I think, you know, we could see 8,000 again for both games.
Yeah, nice. I would assume that the star in the next month or so might have to start spending some money for you, sending you on the road.
We'll see.
Well, NCAA's for sure. Vegas.
Well,
Vegas.
NCAA's, yeah.
Vegas.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's great because I'm sure the attention that you're giving them and you guys are giving, which you guys are giving them great attention, is helping with the media.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess so. I'm not in charge of any of that, and then I just do what my editors tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, but I'm sure you're getting the responses too from people who are reading your stories, who are interested in the team, the features that you're able to write, things like that.
Oh, well, yes, they do. They come up to me and tell me that they like what we're doing. So that's always nice. It's always nice to know that your work is being well accepted in the community. So that's nice. But, you know, my job is to tell their story and to share who these people are and the great things that they're doing on and off the court and why it's a special team, and that we're seeing something here that, you know, you don't see too often. This is a very special season. You know, not every team in the country ever has a season like this. There are really good teams. There are mediocre teams. There are bad teams in the country. But to have a season like this is really unique. And people should be taking time and spending time and watching it and savoring it, because this does not happen every day.
No, but you know what? I honestly believe, I don't know if you agree with me, but this could continue for years if, you know, plays the cards right, gets the right players, because once you start this excitement and backing, that you could turn into what the softball team has turned into.
Oh, absolutely. I think that Adia Barnes, once she gets on this roll, she will be, you know, continue to recruit top players and bring them in here and develop them, and they're going to be a continuous, you know, top 15, top 10 team year in and year out. No doubt in my mind that that will happen. It's just that how this season is unfolding and what this team, what these girls are doing right now to sort of, you know, they haven't done this and, you know, everything's like in a decade or whatever, and how they keep, you know, setting new records and what they're doing, it's very special. This part of it where they haven't been there before and they're doing it and they're not afraid of anybody and they control their own destiny. You know, in years to come, they'll already be there. They'll already be a good team that people expect year in and year out to be ranked and going to the NCAAs. This team wasn't expected to be here. And that's the thing that's special about. That's the part of it that's special about this team, about doing it for the first time under the Adia Barnes era.
Right.
And so that's it. People should really be paying attention and watching every single one of these players because, you know, you're not going to see this again like this.
No, it's been a great run. It's not over yet. The funny thing about it is when I went to a game this year and a few last year, the crowd is totally different than the men's. It's a crazy group of excited people having fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. The fun crowd. And they're loud.
The fun bunch.
Very
yes.
loud.
Yeah, the fun bunch.
Even if for some reason there's only a couple thousand, you know, only 3,000 come, you would think there's 5,000 there or 6.
It's those screaming kids. It's those screaming kids.
Well, not just the kids. It's the adults, too. They love their Wildcats.
Yeah. No, it's they're having fun. Winning does that. You know that.
Absolutely, yeah.
PJ, thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you soon as we get ready for the postseason here in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks Great. For having me on.
All right. Thank you, PJ. That's PJ Brown of the Arizona Daily Star. We'll take our final break here on 10:30 The Voice. Come back on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And with me, Tom Callahan, The Voice. We got to get to a game there, Mr. Tom Callahan.
We do. We have a lot of options in Tucson.
We do. Sure do. We talked about a few things. Are you going to the rodeo next week?
That was not in my plans.
You're not a rodeo guy, are you?
No. But
How you doing? Get your boots gone?
I mean, when I was younger, I actually did watch rodeo on TV with my dad and everything. And I've been to a couple live, especially when I lived in Texas.
Where in Texas? I didn't know this.
I lived in Abilene and San Angelo.
Oh, that is country. That is cowboy country.
West Texas.
Yes, I broke down coming to Tucson 30-some years ago in Post, Texas. Have I told you that story?
No.
Post is like right around the corner, 60 miles away from Abilene.
No, I didn't know. You broke down there.
Mm-hmm. Coming, I used to work in Dallas. Coming back to work here after my summer internship.
That is a one horse town.
Yeah, it was. You have no idea. I broke down. My transmission blew about 60 miles out of from post. Luckily, a big trucker saw me. Said, "Need a ride?" I said, "I do." Went to the post and there was a motel and a gas station, I think it was. And called my dad and I said, "I need help," and blah, blah, blah. Stayed in a hotel that night and had to come and get the car.
That's crazy.
Another 12-hour drive in towing the car. Yeah, that's just a small pub. But Abilene's not too big either. A friend of mine played at Abilene Christian baseball. Yes. How long were you there?
Not very. Couple of months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I moved into town to take a job there right before the start of hockey season. It was early October, and the team folded in December. So I didn't make it very far in Abilene. That was the start of my sports and broadcasting hockey career was really dismal. And I remember that this was 1999, and then I got sick with the flu twice, and my health insurance had been canceled.
Oh.
So speaking of parents, my parents had to send down money so that I could actually get medicine. It was terrible, man. The team just folded. I didn't get paid for the 6 weeks before they folded, but I kept going on the road trips because at least I got per diem.
They had money for that?
Yeah, they had money for the per diem, but it was a race to the bank to cash your check, and I never seemed to win the race.
What level was that?
The old Western Professional Hockey League. That was about the lowest level of hockey there was at
How
the time.
Old were you?
Single A. I was 22.
22, so just out of college?
Yep.
Doing what you're doing,
learning the hard lessons early.
What do you think at that time? You're thinking, "Oh man, how am I going to get a job from this?"
Yeah, exactly. I was so broke. My parents had to drive down from Buffalo, New York, to Abilene, Texas, to help me move home because I didn't even have money for gas to drive home.
No, hey, let me tell you something. I'm kind of not dealing with it right now, but my son who was in China, the story's kind of old now. He just came back from China because they had the virus. He works for the Peace Corps. They chased him out. They canceled their Peace Corps assignments. And now he's back in the States for the first time in 2 years. And now he's going to D.C. for work because he has to get a job. And it's kind of like that. I mean, he wasn't supposed to end his thing until 6 months. And now it's kind of changed all plans.
Yeah.
No, it's tough being a kid.
Yeah.
Tough being a kid with not much.
Yeah, I vividly remember. So we left Abilene the weekend of the Super Bowl that year. The 99 Super Bowl. Remember the Titans came up 1 yard short?
Oh, yeah.
That one. So I remember driving across the state of Texas, listening to the Super Bowl on AM radio and that game. And the whole drive, I just remember kind of staring at the road in front of me going, "I'm 22 and my career's over. Yeah, I'm 22 and my career's over."
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm 22 and my career's over.
So what happened?
So I ended up, I'll give you the short version, but so I ended up moving back home for a while and I moped around for a month or two. Then I just got a couple jobs at the temporary agency in the Buffalo area and that carried me through the summer and my birthday is in late September. And I said, you know what, if I don't get a job by my birthday, I'm done. I'm going to go back to grad school. I'll be a teacher. And the week before my birthday, I got two interviews. And I got one of the jobs.
Where at? In Buffalo?
Elmira, New York.
And so to do what?
I went to go start up an expansion hockey franchise in the United Hockey League as their director of communications and do the play-by-play.
Oh, nice.
And so I ended up going to Elmira for 3 years and then lost my job in Elmira because they decided the owners were cheap and they wanted to make it seasonal. So they cut me at the end of the season. And in the off season, while I was living there, I was looking around, ended up then going to Augusta, Georgia. I was in Augusta for 4 years, went to Peoria, Illinois for a year, then Nashville for 5 years with the Predators. And then after that, I did talk radio in Nashville for a while. And then I said I missed hockey, went to Indianapolis for a year, came here, did the first 2 years of the Roadrunners and started this franchise. And then for the last 2 years, I've been looking for a job.
It's a tough road, man.
It is.
This journalism gig is not fun.
It's crazy. And I mean, like, it was nothing to do here. Like, it wasn't a performance thing or anything, but the Coyotes were getting ready to sell the Roadrunners, and they just said, "Hey, you know, you're expensive."
Right.
See you later.
I get
and
it.
And that happens.
I get it. I've said this a few times on Facebook and a couple times. It's tough when you lose a job at no fault of your own.
Sure.
And it happens to a lot of people. Every day.
Yeah.
And especially in a town like this that's big, but it's not big. This is a small, big town.
Yeah.
And opportunities like yours, like mine, don't come very often.
Yeah.
And when you're older, even more so, not so often.
See, that first job, when I got my first job in pro hockey, which was San Angelo, Texas, I was making $16,500 a year.
Mm-hmm. This is what, 97, 88?
99, okay. I think.
Okay.
I think it was 99. But so anyway, yeah, obviously not even this millennium. But back then, when you're 21, 22 years old, you're like, I could live on this.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Yeah, you could. I remember when I got here, it was like 19 and a half.
Yeah, and you find a way to make it work, but now yeah. It's like,
but back
man.
Then too, even when you get a first job, you're excited and you're thinking, I got money.
Oh yeah,
because you're not in college anymore. You don't have no money.
Yeah,
but now
I know,
I have
right?
money. Yeah, I got my rent and you know a little food and you just want to party.
As long as I could pay my rent and my car, yeah. Everything else went to food and beer.
Yeah, just because you're 22 years old, 23 yeah. years old.
You don't think about saving money.
No. And it's funny because I read a story earlier from somebody else where you think it's never going to end.
Yeah,
you know. World's yours and it's never going to end.
Yeah.
Little do you know.
Yeah, it's
well,
funny.
Well, let me ask you, because I always sure. ask my people, my interview people, is, so what would the Tom Callahan of today tell his younger self?
Spend half of what you spent
you?
Going out.
Can you? Realistically? Because you still have, you know.
I probably could have. I could have tried. Man, if I had half that money back... just half of it, not all of it, half.
Yeah, saved it or something?
Yeah, just put it aside.
Sometimes it's not possible, but I get what you're saying.
That's what I would have told myself was save that money first and then put something in your wallet, go out, you know, have a couple beers with your friends,
mm-hmm.
but don't ever touch what you socked away in savings.
Right.
That was what I did that was
You're sad. I'm going to start
my
to cry.
Fault initially,
that's
man.
Too practical.
Yeah. But that's what old Tom would tell young Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
asking me, what would I tell myself? You know, because back then I didn't think about it.
Right, right. You know? I would tell myself, because I'm a chance taker, but I'm not. Take more chances. Create your own magic. Create your own magic, because if you're not creating your own magic it's for yourself, you're doing it for somebody else.
Yeah.
And guess what happens? They let you go. No fault of your own.
Yep.
They just leave or end their situation, which happened to you, what, two or three times?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This
a couple times
to me
along
two or
the way.
Three times, yeah.
And the other thing I would have told myself, Steve, honestly, looking back at it, is take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like that team that you so love and put your heart and soul into, or that newspaper or that whatever job, yeah. when you're gone, no one's going to remember.
No one cares. No one cares. You know, I felt that, and I'm just about TMI, too much information. That, and then in your personal life, like your divorce and stuff, I'm thinking, I can't get a divorce, but people, you know, people don't give a darn. People, because they have their own problems.
And you know what? The ones that do are going to gossip anyway.
Yeah, who cares?
Whether
yeah.
you have a job or don't, whether you're married or not, like, they'll find something to talk about.
Right, that's true. Look at that wisdom coming from Tom Callahan.
Yeah, these are hard miles. These are hard miles, buddy. Brought me to you.
No. This is the this is not the Oprah. This is the Dr. Phil hour.
Yeah.
Portion of the show.
It's like, I love Frasier, the TV show Frasier.
Solve everybody's problems but his own.
That's it. It's like, hello, Seattle. I'm listening. You know? we get to listen to each other at the very least.
Right. Through the final hour here. So we're going to come back tomorrow. We'll talk a little about UA Oops. They play tomorrow, California.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might have to go to that FC Tucson party. We might have to go.
You know what? And I'm down. You know what's great, Steve? I wanted to mention this too. If you're a Tucson sports fan, think about everything you got coming up here. Like, and
well,
I know,
now, right?
Softball and baseball are just starting up. Basketball's really kind of winding into that season. Hockey's mm-hmm. winding into that playoff push as well. And then you've got this great MLS tournament coming if you're a soccer fan.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Coligard Classic coming if you're a golf
very
fan.
True,
you've
true.
Got the World Baseball Classic qualifiers coming if you're a baseball fan, mm-hmm. which obviously I am
Don't
too.
Don't forget the indoor football.
Yeah, you've got the gladiators. Why did I call them the gladiators?
The Sugar Skulls.
Yeah. Now that's going to bother. Who is the gladiators?
Don't know.
I'm going to have to think about that one. But yeah, you got the Sugar Skulls. You have so much going on right. in this town.
So if I get bored on the show, it's my fault. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, maybe. No.
No, but there is a lot of talk to talk about, because we could always have them on the show. We'll see what happens down the road. Tomorrow's basketball game. Women's basketball, of course, and lots going on. I forgot about, well, the Color Guide, they're actually sponsoring some portion of the show. So that happens in 2 weeks. We had Judy McDermott on earlier this week. So lots to do here in Tucson. And the rodeo. Don't forget the rodeo.
Oh, the rodeo, yes.
Starts this weekend.
Yep.
Might have somebody on tomorrow.
Is Cal a classic trap game, or is it just you see this coming, this should in no way surprise anyone?
I think if it was reversed, it could be. Stanford, then Cal. I think they're good enough to beat Stanford. It's hard to say, but that's a good question. And we know those trap games, they're happening all the time.
Sure.
It's funny, and then how much time do I have? About a minute?
Yep.
It's funny, and I think I asked this of Moreno yesterday. I said, Sean talked about this team being fat, happy, and sloppy. How does a team who's played this badly this year become fat, happy, and sloppy? There's no reason to become that.
No.
If you're not that good.
No. No, you're right.
You know, that's coming.
What are you content with?
Exactly. And I'm not going to blame the three freshmen. I'm over the three freshmen being too young because they're not young. Guess what? If they're in the NBA next year, people are going to say they're too young. They're in the NBA.
Right.
So either you're young or you're not young.
Yeah. I'd argue if you're playing in the NBA, you're plenty old enough.
You're plenty old enough and plenty good enough.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if it's them because they're hiding the hog because they're going to be playing in the NBA. It's not a guarantee. Remember this.
No.
It's not a guarantee. We're good to go? Almost? So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Fat, happy, and sloppy. Sloppy, happy, and fat, whatever. Just don't do it.
Whatever floats your boat, Steve.
Yes, yes. I got to go on my diet tomorrow. Thanks, Tom. We'll see you guys tomorrow.